Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 148 for the 15th of October, 2011. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined... Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not joined in the studio by anybody. I'm alone. Totally alone. No, I'm not. On Skype.
But we are here from beyond the grave.
Yeah, we're trying something a little bit different this week. We're actually bringing Richard and Josh. Richard Gray from TheRealBits.com. How are you?
I'm disembodied head.
You're going to have to get a bit closer to your mic there, Richard. And Josh, this is so weird.
I know, man, right? It's like it's like a whole different world. And here we are trying to set up your mic for you. Don't do that.
I'm trying Richard, to get close Richard's, to the mic,
Richard's
man.
Trying to get close to the mic by basically sitting on it. Please stop trying to do that.
For those who are playing along at home.
Absolute lies, man, just so you know, Dave. Like, our plan is to create some absolute lies about what we're doing. Like, right now, we're actually tap dancing within in our boxes. On a table. You can't hear it, but that's kind of...
You should see the goldfish, man.
What is all that thumping? You guys are doing something naughty over there. For those who...
That was me tapping on the table, pretending to be tap dancing.
For those who are following along at home, Richard and Josh are actually at the same location. They're just not here in the studio. So they're off doing something that I can't see. So.
No, man, we don't have to make this entire episode an innuendo, okay?
We could try. All right, this is the...
What innuendo?
This is Geek Actually. This is our... Josh, describe this show for me. I don't know. What is
God,
this show?
It's just a mess.
Basically, this is it's a mixture of our old tech and our old after show, and we squish it together and we see what comes out. And it's basically...
What if you've never watched the old tech and the after show, how would you describe it? If an alien came down...
I would actually say go back and listen to the old tech show and the old after show.
It kind of requires a bit of background knowledge to know what it was. It was an evolving process. It's like it grew as we went through it. It started off as like a small tech show, and then it started to get funny, and then it went to be serious, and then we tried to make it both, and then we had the geek show. And Dave, what was that about?
Let's go right back. Let's, for those who are new to this whole thing, go right back and say Geek Actually used to be this this combo show of film reviews
History
and tech of film reviews and tech and all sorts of stuff, and it just grew to this monster behemoth, and we just sliced it up and dropped it into all its various components. But over time, we realized that the tech was the after show was much more fun than the tech show, so we kind of mixed them together.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for anything serious in the world of tech, you've come to the wrong show.
Yeah. Go back and find the Tom Merritts or whatever of this world and go talk to them.
Absolutely. We kind of approach things just from our geek perspective. We just like to just like sit around and chat about anything that's going on. And speaking of sitting around chatting, let's talk about iOS. Because it dropped, was it a day before yesterday?
Wait, is there a new iOS app?
There is a new iOS app, believe it or not, yeah.
No. Next, you're going to tell me there was a new iPhone out this week.
Oh, wow. You know, I believe there is.
No way. A new iPhone.
New iPhone finally has come out. Now, I'm going to ask the chat
iPhone
room.
iPhone 5, right?
But didn't we just get one last year? Surely.
I'm going to ask the chat room at this point, does anybody have an iPhone 4S? That's what I want to know. I want to know if anybody's actually got one in their hands. And Richard, I believe you've played with one.
Sorry, the iPhone, yes.
Yes, the iPhone.
I did. A colleague at work got one, brought it to work very excitedly yesterday, and I had a play with it. The first thing we did was use Siri.
And was it anything like our experience of playing with it at work, where the first question we asked to do was to find us a brothel, to which it actually quite admirably found a brothel for us.
Wow.
It may have been in North America, but they found
one. No, it's we of course asked it the stupidest questions possible. We had a few sort of teething problems when we started out. So we said open calendar, and we obviously weren't saying open calendar in the right American fashion. So it said, it had things like ever so sorry, not allowed to do that, or calling Steve. were two of the responses. But once it was all set up and it was working properly, because I think it does take time to get used to your voice.
Well, like anything, it needs to be, like any voice recognition, it needs to be vaguely trained. So
absolutely. So once it got used to it, it was actually getting kind of scarily good. So it was doing a lot of the stuff that was in the demo, like open calendar, make an appointment with Richard. Yep, okay, now text him to tell him that there's an appointment, all that sort of stuff. It worked. But then it's got a sense of humor to it as well. We're asking it just random questions. And my friend said, asked it, do you love me? And the response came back, I am not capable of love.
Oh, wow.
And
I want to know what it would say if you say, will you fuck me? That's what I want to know.
Well, there's another one where it said, you know, will you marry me? And it said, I think we should just be friends.
Oh, dude, that's great.
And another, and it was just things like when you asked it to do something and it didn't understand it, it rather than just saying, I don't understand, it would come back with things like, I can't do that for you. I'm sorry to let you down. And we all just collectively went, oh.
Does it actually do what showed in the demo where it starts everything with, okay?
it does a little bit, but not. It's not too bad. But just one random one I'll mention again, which was, it said, "What are you doing on the weekend?" to the phone. It said, "I'll be in your pocket, of course."
Vibrating with my new custom vibrations.
We'll always be together forever in electric dreams.
And Delta Knight's just put in the chat room, I can't do that, Dave.
Absolutely.
Now, Scalicent has actually said, did you replace the voice with GLaDOS yet? Now, what he's talking about is this. I'm going to play a video for our chat room. You guys will be able to hear this. You don't really need to be able to see it because all it is the Apple ad that's been revoiced. So really what you want to hear is this. So this is GLaDOS Siri.
Read me the message.
New message from K. Bad news. Combustible lemons failed. Can you meet us at 10?
Reply, definitely. I'll see you there. Play my running mix.
Oh, joy.
Oh, what's joy. The traffic like around here?
The traffic will be slow and meaningless. Just like your sad little life.
Text my wife. I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
She won't mind. She doesn't really love you anyway.
Is it going to be chilly in San Francisco this weekend?
Not too cold. Your few extra pounds should be suitable insulation to keep you warm.
What about Napa Valley?
I hear it's beautiful there. Unlike you.
How many cups are in 12 ounces?
Let me think. Do you really need to make those extra cupcakes?
Set my timer for 30 minutes.
Okay, 30 minutes and counting. Until I end your sad attempt at a life. New notification from Sandy Chen. Are we still on for dinner tonight? Perhaps you should have a snack instead. You're looking a little heavy.
Reply. Sure, I'll be there.
Here's your reply to Sandy Chen. Sure. I will be there. Me and my extra 20 pounds.
All right, so there's GLaDOS Siri.
That is pretty accurate, actually. In the best ways.
I want that voice on my Siri when I get my iPhone. I want that, or I want Darth Vader.
To answer Delta's question, it doesn't actually. It said, "Can you change the actual voice on the 4S?" We didn't try, but I don't think you can at the moment.
From what I understand, at the moment you can't. But the fact is that Apple has said this is still beta, and what they meant by that was that they're going to be adding a lot of features. And I will make you a bet that you'll be able to change the voice.
And can I just say, for a beta,
roundabout,
it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
We did one thing yesterday. It was things like send a text to Richard. Hello, winky face, and it actually recognized that and made a winky face in the text rather than actually the words winky face.
That's fantastic.
So it recognized what you meant by winky face.
And interestingly enough, dude, Dave, just to give you a side note about this, I actually, you know how we were talking about this technology was amazing and groundbreaking, and it definitely is in the way that it can actually grab information that you're trying to, say, and it'll reword it into a statement it understands. That's definitely revolutionary, but a friend actually grabbed my phone when I was talking about this and started up the application, and it seems that most of the basic applications are actually already available on my phone, on the Galaxy. I didn't even realize this. He showed me the voice commands on mine, and I hadn't been using any of this.
Okay, well, just to be very clear, iPhone has actually had voice commands in it as well. If you push and hold your home button
period of time, it'll actually let you do stuff like you can actually say, write a message, blah, 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 and it will actually do that. I wasn't aware that you could do that. I actually thought this was like the first time this had ever happened.
No, I knew this was already available. Siri is, from the Siri technology, this is the company that Apple bought, is just a much more advanced version of that. So basically what they've done is they've taken that concept concept and they've tried to work it into natural dialogue.
Absolutely.
And they've been working on this for a long time. And then Apple bought them, and I think it was about almost 2 years ago, and we've heard nothing since. And the Siri app used to be available in the App Store, and it's been pulled, so you can't get it anymore. Mm. And so it's literally, this is Apple's big push. This is their next big thing for the future. Is they're going, I guarantee you, within the next 5 years, you're going to see Siri on everything.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll see it on the netbooks. You'll see it on the iPad. You'll see it on the iMacs. You'll see it everywhere because it'll be Star Trek. It'll be computer.
Yeah. I was quite impressed with it, I've got to say. I mean, when we first tried it out, it was doing some really weird things, and it was just, you know, not recognizing commands. It would come back with things like, you know, testing, wondering, awakening, 187 in response to a one command. I have no idea what that actually means. But once you got going, and as you said before, Dave, it does, all voice recognition software does take it, you know, a while to get used to your voice.
It's learning.
It's learning, and it's not used to Australian accents. Nothing's used to Australian accents.
No, absolutely nothing.
And I was lucky that I was testing this out with a Brit, and it seems to understand them a lot better than it understands me. But the other thing I was really interested in, of course, with the actual phone itself is the camera, was something that we've all been really keen on doing, and it is pretty fabulous. I mean, it's you know, if you've used the iPhone 4, of course, the actual functionality of the camera hasn't changed at all. It's still just one button, and you flick back and forth between camera and video, but it does have the face recognition in there now. It does have the 1080p video. And it is incredibly smooth because we moved it around quite a bit, and it is incredibly stable.
Oh, that's the image stabilization,
Yeah, and it looks really crisp, and the screen is a lot brighter. The screen does look everything just, it's just that little bit better, you know. Oh, so it's logical,
just that little bit of brand new technology.
Yeah, it is what you'd expect. I mean, you know, there's going to be haters out there, but I think it is the next logical step between the 4 and whatever comes with the 5.
All right, so that's the phone. Now, we've also got iOS 5. Now, iOS 5, I've installed on my iPhone 4. I've installed it on my iPad 1 because I don't have an iPad 2, but I've installed it on the iPad 1. And it works fine on both of those devices. So anybody who was thinking about updating... I believe Josh is going to hit us with a few problems of installing this thing in the first place. But once it's on... it runs fine. Okay, so that's the...
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I had no problems getting the install going. The only thing that I had that I did notice is it's really long. It took hours. And this will be dependent on how much you've got on your phone. Okay, so if your phone is loaded... My phone, I've got a 32-gig phone and it's loaded. All right? And I've got a 32-gig iPad and it's loaded because I keep these things full of stuff. I keep them full of movies, pictures, music, everything else. So it has to rebuild the iPad and the iPhone from scratch. So when you install iOS, what it's going to do is it's going to pull an update off your phone. It's going to pull a backup off your phone, a fairly extensive backup. Takes longer than normal. And then,
oh, dude, and it's so huge. I had to wipe out like whole sections of my hard drive. Enough space to fill it.
And then once it's done that, it then literally restores your phone back to factory. So it just wipes it clean. And it takes a while to do that. And then it puts on the new update. And it's also a big update. It's 744 megabytes or something like that for a phone install. So it's huge. So it then installs that. So it takes a long time. And then once it's done all that, it then restores your old system back on top of it. And so all up, I actually found on my phone, it took about 2.5 hours. And on my iPad, iPad 1, it was actually closer to, probably closer to 3 hours to put it all back together again. But once it was done,
That's great. Mm. Oh, well, at least it was done and finished. Like I was saying, some people haven't been so lucky. A lot of people that I know have been getting bricked phones out of this. And I mean, like,
I heard that,
Yeah, you can still get it reset. Obviously, just start again and try again, and it'll keep going and eventually work. But yeah, there's been a lot of problems with these sort of things. But anyone that thinks this isn't normal, like, I mean, Apple's probably the least worrying phone to do this with. People like me, when Ice Cream Sandwich comes out, are going to be actually terrified as to whether or not their phone will ever start again. With Apple, they seem to have a reasonably decent way to at least let you get back and try and do it again. Mm. Whereas, it could be a lot worse for those people out there that are giving it a whole lot of shit. But yeah, mine didn't take 7 hours. Mine would have probably taken 25 minutes.
That's amazing. I'd love to know how that went so fast. Now, I've just got very quickly from our chat room. Do you guys have the chat room on where you are, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Calisynth has basically said that he can confirm that the iOS 5 runs fine on iPod Touch 4th generation. Shout out these in the chat room. If you guys shout these out for us, we'd love to know. I still want to know if it's going to work on a 3GS. So I'm still waiting for a confirmation on 3GS because I don't have one to test at the moment. Hopefully I will soon, but I don't have one at the moment. And we also have Northy says thanks to us because he always waits from the okay from us guys before the updating because of the disaster of updating his 3G to iOS 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in that same boat. That's the reason I have a 4 now is because iOS 4 bricked my 3G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it will. So that's why I'm not convinced about the 3GS yet. So I'm waiting for somebody who's got an old 3GS who can do the update just to tell us.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably going to brick it.
Probably, but don't do it on a phone that you actively use because just in case this thing bricks it, okay? Because there is no way legally that you can roll this back. So Delta says he's just finishing his iOS 5 update on his iPhone 4 at the moment. Right now he's doing it.
Oh, God. Well, good luck.
Good luck with that. There's some really nice new features in iOS 5. I was playing around with some of the hidden features, some of the stuff that they haven't talked about. You know, all the key features we've already talked about. You know, these are all the ones that you go to Apple's site and they have all the things like the camera and this. There's a few things. I mean, 200 updates, 200 features on this phone. Some of them are worthless and some of them you look at and go, pretty neat. First thing I noticed was on the camera app, the zoom control apparently seems to be gone. At first glance, you remember how you used to be able to tap it, the zoom control would come up and you slide it backwards and forwards. If you tap it, you just get the focus. You don't get the zoom control. I thought, wow, they've taken the zoom off. They haven't. You pinch to zoom.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they've just changed it to a pinch to zoom.
iOS 5, is it iOS 5 or is it just the phone itself that has the face recognition now in the camera?
That's iOS 5. That's the new camera.
And that works quite well.
It does. That works remarkably well, actually. The other feature I found, which I think is probably my favorite feature yet, and it's such a little under the hood thing, but I think for people who are mad texters, this could be the way to go. The old hated autocorrect feature on the phone, which has caused so many people so much grief, can now be modified. So if you actually go into settings, and I do recommend you have a play around with this because this is so much fun. If you actually go into settings, go into keyboard, you'll actually now find that at the bottom of the keyboard, there is actually a part that actually says shortcut. Or it says enable shortcuts. And you can actually now create, and there's a little area at the bottom of the screen that says add new shortcut. And what this does is it adds phrases to autocorrect. So you can actually put in phrases that you use a lot and tell it what key combination will actually trigger that phrase. So as you're typing, if you just start typing that, it'll come up in the autocorrect your sentence. And you just hit spacebar and you've got your whole sentence in place. So I was thinking that it would be handy to do things like that for like web addresses and stuff for when we're doing tweets and stuff.
Yeah,
definitely.
So you could actually be in Twitter, start typing. I could type in GA or GAP, say for Geek Actually Podcast, and it would immediately just put the Geek Actually Live address down.
What if you wanted to type GAP, though?
How often would I type GAP? Well, you also remember, all you have to do
is... You might say, I'm going to the GAP.
Yeah.
Okay. There is an answer to that, which is you just hit the X. You just cancel it.
Fine, Mr. Smarty Pants. So I called him Mr. Smarty Pants, but he did tell us before the show that he's doing the show without pants.
And I'm going to leave it to your imagination whether or not that's true or not. So I thought that was a really nice feature. And just for those who are really, they like to have all their, I'm not one of those people, but if you're one of those person who has actually a custom ringtone to each one of your people and everything else, there's a few new things you can add. You can now add custom vibration so that each person has a different sequence of vibrations. So you can
I've got to say there's so many reasons that I could go into jokes about how wrong that is, but I won't.
So you can, there's actually some preset ones. So you can actually have, if somebody rings you, it actually vibrates out SOS. And stuff like
that's for when your mother-in-law calls.
Yeah. And if you are
if I want a custom mother-in-law vibrating in my pants. You know.
And if you are hard of hearing, apparently the other thing you can actually do is you can now trigger the LED, the flash, so that when it rings it'll actually blink at you.
I actually think that's a really good idea because people like me sometimes need to know that my phone's going off but can't answer it immediately. So having that on late at night would be a much better option than the vibration that basically gives me a heart attack every time it goes off.
I agree. I thought that was kind of neat. I haven't turned that on, but I was playing around with it last night. I was playing around with a few of the new iOS features last night. The iPad now has tabs in Safari, which is kind of nice and works quite well. I know there's browsers out there that already have tabs, so it's not such a huge issue, but Safari is the default browser, so every time you click on a link, it immediately fires up Safari. So now Safari's actually kind of brought itself up to date. And the other thing I thought was kind of neat was I was playing with the split keyboard, which is only available on the iPad version. Now, the split keyboard's kind of neat because not only can you split the keyboard so you can do thumb typing, but you can also undock it from the bottom so you can actually slide it up and down the screen. So if you don't want it at the bottom, you can actually slide it up and get it out of the way. Which I thought was
kind of nice. Quite cool. Yeah. No, I haven't actually activated that yet. And now that you said that, I'm actually going to go and have a look at it.
Yeah, all you have to do for that, you don't have to actually activate it or anything. All you have to do is go into an area where the keyboard is. So you, when the keyboard pops up, if you actually look at the keyboard button at the bottom of the screen, the one that actually lets you slide the keyboard back down again, you'll actually see it's got little ridges on the side of it. Now, if you just push and move it, you'll actually see that it'll just slide up and down.
It's interesting. It's very cool.
I like that.
And you can also, if you push and hold it, you'll get a little menu which says split or undock. So if you actually do the undock, it'll actually just let go and it'll allow you to slide it up and down.
That looks really intuitive,
actually. It definitely takes some time to get used to, but I have to say that after having a little play, I'm just passing it over to Richard.
Yeah.
That's definitely quite cool. I wanted to talk about Livestream, if that's all right, Dave.
Please do. Yeah, I was going to get to iCloud next. So let's talk about iCloud. You start us off with Livestream because I PhotoStream because I haven't played with that yet.
Yeah, well, look, this has to be one of my favorite features just because I've actually, since I got onto the Galaxy, my main use for the iPhone has been to use it as a camera.
Yep.
So with the button and being able to now press the button to send things, that has been very cool. But then to actually be able to upload it to Livestream makes it even cooler, in my opinion, because essentially all of the photos I take, I know that I can have a copy of it safe somewhere else, which is great for holiday snaps, especially just day-to-day people that don't use a phone like I do.
My question about Livestream has been this, about PhotoStream has been this. If I import photos into my iPhoto, for instance, are those immediately going to be streamed out onto all my iOS devices? Because I don't necessarily want that to happen. So if I, like, if I'm working with my digital SLR and I take a whole bunch of photos and I want to put them into iPhoto and have a look at them, as soon as I import those into iPhoto, are they just going to live stream out to all my iOS devices?
Well, I'll put it this way, Dave. Let's find out.
I'm going to have to try that as an experiment.
Richard.
I am the guinea pig.
And I will let you know if it does it or not.
Okay, but so, that's not going to tell us about the desktop issue, though, is it?
All right, desktop. I don't know.
Taking photos. Taking photos. If I take a photo on my iPhone and it syncs over to my iPad and it syncs back to my iPhoto, I have no problem with that. That sounds like a great idea. What I'm talking about is if we're doing like a bulk import into iPhoto on the desktop, is that suddenly going to just seep out into the rest of it? You know what I mean?
Surely that's a setting you could fix.
Though. I would hope so. I'm going to experiment with that this week, by the way. PhotoStream is just the one I haven't got to yet. I am going to experiment with PhotoStream this week, and I'll report back at the end of the week. Because also with a Mac, I can do it with iPhoto, and I can play around with it. And we'll try and do some heavy importing backwards and forwards and see what actually happens. What I can report, though, is that the documents syncing between iOS devices is quite remarkable. I created a document on Pages on my phone, and I looked over at Pages on my iPad, and bingo, there it was. It just moved from one device to the next. So I thought that was pretty swish. The only problem that I have with that is that they're promising us that it'll also sync back to the desktop. That's not active yet. Because Pages and Numbers and Keynote, et cetera, have not been updated yet to support the document sharing. So we can move it between our iOS devices, and that's all great, but we can't do it between our desktop yet. So we're still waiting for that aspect of it. And somebody actually raised a very interesting point throughout the week. I was listening. They were saying that it's going to be a very tricky thing for Apple to do because there is no one central file repository on a Mac. You can store your files anywhere.
Yeah.
So they're not even sure. Unless they go to an archive system like iPhoto does with those programs, I don't see how they can do it on a Mac.
I would think they will have to do something like the archive system. So far the concept of this wireless streaming technology and the connection is definitely been the winning device use, I think, out of all of the update features that there are, has definitely been this concept of being able to collect these files across. So I think, they're going to have to do it somehow. And I think if they were going to do it anyway, having some sort of an archive system would be the best way.
Oh, well, this is Apple's big dream as well, as to take control of file management, remember? Snake Oz in our chat room said, on the PC, Dave, you need to put them in the upload folder. Yeah, he's not sure about the Mac, though. So that's actually, so there is a folder for uploading. That's the that's the photo issue, and Dalton Knight has just updated us on his on his iOS 5 update, saying that he just agreed to the EULA and he feels so dirty.
You know what? I can't actually I can't accept those EULAs without thinking of South Park now.
Yes.
Just like every time I go to click on one, I just hear one of the boys from South Park just going, "Come on, seriously, who reads those?"
The other thing I will say about iCloud is that if you are a current Mobile Me subscriber, you don't have to go to iCloud straight away. You actually have until June, and it's free. They have extended all Mobile Me accounts to June, but once you have made the move to iCloud, your Mobile Me account basically is gone. Okay, so what the only things that will be kept alive in your Mobile Me account will be iWeb and the photo galleries features, because those are features that are not duplicated in iCloud, and so they will still work until June, and then they will be eliminated. So if you've got an iWeb website, it's time to move away.
Yeah, it's time to get off.
Yeah, it's time to move. Apple has decided that iWeb is dead, so it's time to move away from that. But you do have until June.
Time to get a real website, people.
Yeah, time to go get WordPress, okay? Now, the other features of iCloud all seem to work, although Josh and I have both been experiencing this. It is fair to note that their service is going up and down, and it's a bit erratic at the moment. There is a huge demand on these servers, and let's face it, they went from a couple hundred thousand people testing it in beta to suddenly a record uptake, 100 million people or something like that. So it's just been ridiculous, the number of people who have jumped on this. So I don't think anybody anticipated that an incremental update to a phone and a new web-based service would be so popular.
I think it catches the timing of it all as well. I mean, Apple's been in the headlines all week for different reasons.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, there is a sort of a messianic quality to their recently fallen leader.
There is, and that too, yes.
And you know, coming in that wave of goodness, people kind of want to go out and connect with that product or do things with that product. And, you know.
It's a terrible thing to kind of say, but it's sort of almost really good timing.
Oh, look, if Apple had been marketing this, it was actually on the Gruen Transfer, which is a program here in Australia. Actually Gruen Planet.
I love
they
Gruen.
They were talking about this whole thing, which is, for those of you overseas who don't know Gruen, it's the term itself refers to that feeling when you're in a shopping center or one of mega mall kind of thing, and you get lost and you don't know what you're doing, so you start buying things because you but it's a show here which is actually about advertising, and they were talking about the power of Steve Jobs as a figure, that people would actually follow him. And there were studies done according to this program where when people saw pictures of Steve Jobs, they had the same, Mac users had the same reaction to what Christians did when they saw pictures of Jesus. And I'd believe it, because there are people who would follow anything that Steve told them to do. And we talked about this last week. When you watched video of the man, there was something just intangibly charismatic about it. And his replacement, and sorry, I've forgotten his
Tim Cook.
Name
for Dave the would be the best, but Tim Cook.
Yes, right, sorry. Tim Cook, that's right. They were showing footage of him as well, and just how bland a person he is to listen to. But they're also noting, and I think this is true, Apple's become bigger now than either of the individuals. But probably because of that, the way they've marketed it. And now I don't think there's any stopping this machine. I think it's...
Oh, I don't think Apple's going to be hurting for a while. So I think...
No. And the thing is, and I think, you know, Steve's hand will be on the next five products, you know. they'll say this was the last thing, or this is one of the last things that Steve had to do with, you know, and all that sort of thing. And you know, they would have planned up to the iPhone 8, so they'll name the next phone after him or something.
I know. I think Siri will get Steve Jobs' voice.
Oh, that's creepy. Oh,
dude, and you'll do things and it'll say, boom, isn't that magical?
If that happens, Dave, that will be the end of my Apple product.
Yeah, I might switch to Android.
I don't know. I'd buy that phone.
Really, that's real creepy, Dave. You want Steve Jobs in your pants?
Not if you put it that way, no.
if you think about it, because this is one of the pictures of Siri was that you can answer your phone from your pants. Mm. And so you'd be pressing your button or, you know, your Bluetooth device or whatever you've got. You'd say, answer that text for me.
Dude, does
Steve
that mean
Jobs'
that we...
voice would come back and say, I would like to meet you after work.
Dude, can we please have it instead of Siri? Can we have to ask Steve? Yeah. That would be amazing. It'd just be like, Steve, do I have any appointments this week?
And he'd say, you do, and that's magical.
Bam.
Bam. Boom.
Just bam after everything.
Oh, dear. Now, speaking of Steve Jobs, you did hear the news this week that Sony, of all people, Sony, let's face it, Steve Jobs and Apple basically have destroyed Sony in many ways.
I just want to let you know, Dave, that Josh is trying to eat his computer.
I'm not trying to eat, but there was something in my fan port, so I was just blowing it out.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
We didn't need to make any. keep going, Dave.
All right. Sony actually has acquired the rights to Steve Jobs' authorized biography. They are going to make the movie, the Steve Jobs movie. And I just found this incredibly. I don't know if I found it. I don't know if the. iMovie. I don't know if I found it ironic or strange.
Ironic.
There you go. That it was Sony of all companies. Because there hasn't been a lot of love between Apple and Sony. So
we haven't seen the script yet, David.
I got to tell you, I'm really, really keen to read this book, though.
Wouldn't you, man?
Yeah, this is where Steve Jobs finally talks about his life, authorized. He actually talked to the guy. And when the actual author asked him, why now? Why did you want to actually do this? Because there's been so many books about Steve Jobs, but he's never talked. Steve Jobs' response was, I wanted my kids to know who I was.
Aww.
So I thought, that's a book I want to read.
Definitely.
So, and Callison in our chat room has said the movie will be Pirates of Silicon Valley 2. Kind of.
Dude, can we call it something like Pirate Harder? Or something like that.
Pirates of Silicon Valley 2, Curse of the Black Pearl.
There you go.
I like it. Let's do it.
And on Stranger Tides.
Delta says that the movie about Steve Jobs would have Sony products all the way through it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We'll wait for that. So Deadline is actually reporting on that. And the other one I wanted to bring up very quickly was that the future of computing is not in America. It is not in Australia. It is not in Europe. Of all the countries in the world that it could be, it is India has made the biggest move that I think is amazing. An Indian company has designed a tablet that will sell, government subsidized, for $35. And the idea is they want to try that no matter how advanced India might be, and, you know, we have all the call centers and everything else, only 7.5% of that population is actually online. And they want to get
the rest of,
sorry?
I was going to say, like, it's wireless. It's mobile in India. There's a massive population. More people own phones in India than anything else.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And so basically this tablet, they said it's not the fastest kid on the block. In fact, I'll give you some specs. It is a 366 megahertz processor, HD video coprocessor with 256 megs of RAM, 32 gigabytes of flash memory, 7-inch resistive screen, 800x480 resolution, and it'll run Android 2.2 Froyo. It's not the fastest tablet on the market. It's not the slowest either. But as they said, what it does well, which is it surfs the internet and checks mail and does those little things that people need. They can do Twitter and so forth. Basically get people online. And they're going to try and get this out there so that this tablet, it's basically the government is paying a $50 charge on each of these. And so they will sell for about $35 as a subsidized tablet. And they're hoping that they will actually get it's subsidized down, and with bulk, they're hoping that they'll be able to sell even more, to sell it even cheaper. And they're also saying that there is actually, they're trying to get these out to students first, and then they're going to get them out to everybody else. And once they go out to everybody else, it might be a little bit more expensive, but not much. We're only talking about an extra $20 or something on top of it. So I just think this is amazing. It's called the Akash tablet. And all I'm saying is, why can't we have one of those?
Look, it makes sense in a place like India because, as you said, there's not a lot of fixed lines. There's something like, I'm just looking at the numbers up now, there's 851.7 million cell phones in India.
Wow.
We're talking, and this is, because I, as you know, I've done a little bit of research into mobile usage here, and I was mainly doing it from an academic point of view, but I was comparing it to uptake of mobile phones around the world, and certainly Australia, but the States as well, are way behind countries like India, and certainly behind Japan, where mobile usage is in the hundreds of percentages. I mean, Australia, we're up to something like 120% of mobile penetration, which means that, you know, at least 20% of people own more than one. Mobile phone.
or they're owning a tablet and a phone, or they're owning
This was just cell phone.
Oh, just cell phone
statistics alone, and this is not including tablets or any mobile devices as well.
Actually, Richard, that makes sense because I was actually reading an article about somebody the other day who was talking about how much they love their Apple iPhone, and they were saying that they use an Android phone for work and they use an iPhone at home, and they prefer their iPhone, so that's why they have two phones. So they have,
absolutely, you know, and I think you're seeing that more and more. I mean, it could be just people are using it for work and home. There's different phones as well, but in India, where you're not going to get to a landline, it makes sense. And certainly the medical field, for example, has been really pushing the idea of having point of need information being pushed out to people. And of course, for that to work, you need a really robust mobile broadband system, but something that we can't really get happening here.
Well, we might soon, though. I mean, that's the thing. We're starting to roll out better networks all the time. So we'll see what happens.
And, you know, I think that's just the one thing you can say about the Steve Jobs legacy, which is that, you know, it doesn't – or even people like him who had the vision that the future will be mobile, regardless of what product it's going to be, and actually laid the groundwork down for those products in the future.
Yeah, and Freak in our chat room wants to point out that we are better than the States with than the States with mobile coverage and networks at this point in time.
Oh, I should say that I'm constantly seeing complaints every time a new phone's announced as to which
side of the fence
which network's going to stuff it up for them, or
and the fact that they've got these phones that are exclusive to one network and you can't
exactly
get it on another.
They're locked in. Yeah,
and it's the American mobile system, no offense to you guys, is fucked up, quite frankly. Yeah. And all I can say is that it's time to regulate it a little bit, and you might get a little bit of control, you know?
We've got really, really good competitive brands here in Australia. We've gone from a situation where we had two telcos to at least, you know, four or five major contenders every time you go and buy a phone.
Yeah, and look, and the fact is, all the telcos are sharing the same towers as well. So we actually have this really good, solid network that they're all buying time off of, which is kind of what the NBN is going to do for our internet as well, where they're not all – I mean, if you remember going back to the early days when we first got landline competitors, because we only had one telephone system for a long time, and when we finally got Optus coming in, they had to actually lay their own cable to put a phone into your house. Now, nobody has to do that anymore. The phone lines are the phone lines. Everybody just buys time on them, and it works so well, and it's became so competitive that everything is so cheap now. So
it's amazing what you get. I mean, I still don't think we've got – I mean, in terms of the amount of data that we're able to access, I think we're still dragging the chain compared to places like Japan.
Oh, hell yes.
Data is key now. I mean, like you can't do anything without data. And so I think that's one area where we really need to buck the game. Because even if you've got, you know, 2 gigabytes a month or something, which is what a lot of the standard contracts have got now – it's not enough. Like you want the freedom to be able to download large streaming video wherever you are, and we're not quite there yet. But I think, you know, couple of years, it'll be there.
Mm. Freak is still saying in the chat room, I think we are all well aware of how bad it is over there in the States, that is. And I'm still trying to explain to people around me that mobile networks have limited bandwidth and you can't run everything off the mobile networks for internet. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just not there yet, you know?
I was in a Vodafone store just a couple of days ago, and while I was trying to get something, I was listening to the joyful conversation between a guy in the store and somebody that was obviously in the Vodafone call center trying to explain how he had racked up $1,500 yeah. worth of mobile data bills, apparently, by just not monitoring it at all. Yeah. And yeah, it was a conversation that I was actually angry at him for, because I was like, how dare you think that you should just be given this stuff? It's like 5 years ago, what you do with your phone would have been amazing. And now you're just like, why are you charging me for this?
Tell you that I am a little bit nervous about iCloud for this very reason. This concept of constant
syncing. It's automatically pushing stuff out. It's hard to monitor it. Yeah.
Absolutely. You go out and take 50 photos on that 8-megapixel camera on an iPhone 4S.
Or 10. I thought it was 10 megapixels.
No, it's 8.
Sorry, it's 1080p. Yeah, 1080p. My bad.
Sorry, let's say you go out and shoot. Each one of those photos is probably going to be in the realms of, 2 megabytes a piece? I'm compressed, and it's streaming those over the net. So let's say you go off and shoot 50 pictures. You're starting to move some serious data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that concerns me a little bit, that is so automatic, and we don't have unlimited accounts over here. I'm on a two gig plan. You know,
I've got to say that some of the telcos are getting better at this, though. Telstra apparently recently, I don't know if they've actually implemented this yet. As far as I know, they haven't, because I'm on Telstra here. They were talking about actually at the moment what they do is they send you a text when you're getting close to the end of your data, which is a sensible thing to do. At 80%, you get a text saying you've used 80% of your data. But now they're actually talking about, rather than doing that, just throttling your bandwidth when you cross over the line, rather than actually
absolutely like they do on ADSL and so forth. Shape it down. Absolutely, I think excess data charges are an archaic thing of the past.
Yeah,
you know, shape us down, make it so that data moves really, really slowly. Whatever you have to do, but don't go charging people thousands of dollars. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, really. I don't know. I do agree with Josh to a certain extent. I think you should be responsible for your own data to some extent. And I remember getting very cross with a telco at one point when I allegedly crossed the line. And I'm someone who monitors my usage very closely.
Yeah, me too.
And when I apparently used 300 megabytes in one day, which I knew was impossible, I complained because I said, you know as well as I do, that and I said, I actually checked my phone and I said, my phone tells me I didn't use that much data yesterday. I know how to monitor my usage, so don't you tell me blah 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 blah. I won't go into the whole rant here. You know, I'm someone who checks it closely, so when there is an anomaly, I know exactly what's gone wrong. I know who to contact. I know you know what language to use to get it remedied. But you know, for the average Joe, I think people aren't aware, and we joked before about who reads those shrink wrapped contracts at the start of the phone. That's exactly what you don't need to read them all. You don't need to read all several thousand words of it. But you do need to be aware that, you know,
you just have to.
You're paying for a service here, and use it correctly. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Snake Oz has said, I'll check it again, but he thinks he read somewhere that updating to iOS 5 that it only uploads to iCloud when you connect to Wi-Fi. But he'll double check.
You can turn on at least in the store options, you can turn on downloading from cellular data, but you have to turn it on. It's not a standard feature that's turned on.
I know that the syncing to the Wi-Fi syncing to iTunes is on is only Wi-Fi, because it actually says it's when your phone is idle. So basically on Wi-Fi and idle is when it will do the backup and sync. And I know that the data sharing, document sharing between like pages and stuff, that happens over cellular, because I saw it happen last night while I was on 3G. But those are very small files, you know. So, but all those little files are going to add up. That's the and Delta's saying, oh, please check that for me right now. Callisynth wanted to point out that the first app that he got for his Nexus S was a 3G monitor. Freak says that there is absolutely no excuse for not knowing your bandwidth usage on a phone.
I think it's an important thing, but it's I sit halfway on the fence with this. I understand why people are angry about this because they don't understand the technology, but at the same time, I can't put the fault with the company for that.
The problem is though with all telcos is they never want to tell you the full truth. That's the biggest problem. Don't. They want to keep you vaguely in the dark because it's how they make money.
Of course they do.
Yeah, so it is up to people to start learning a little bit more about their technology so that they can hold on to this. But yes, I do agree, you should have a 3G download monitor. I will point out, though, that I did hear on a Leo Laporte show a while ago that I know AT&T in America, so I don't know what the Australian policies are, but I know that AT&T in America does not actually use the iPhone download monitor that's built into the iPhone. They say it's not. They say it's not accurate.
So that is very odd.
So they say you have to have, they actually have their own that you can get, but you'd have to use a third party one. They don't trust the iPhone one. This is on iPhone 4. I don't know about iPhone 4S.
Well, look, even if I don't particularly agree with them not using that and just, you know, sort of saying go out and source one, use ours or use someone else's, it also would help raise awareness.
Absolutely, yeah. And Freak says, oh, that's ridiculous. Thank you, Freak. I agree. All right. So continuing on our little magic. Oh, the other thing. Oh, very quickly. This is a very different show. The next last couple of weeks have been very different shows. But last thing I wanted to say about the iPhone. Josh, I've got an update on RAM. I talked to Richard about this yesterday, but I'll bring this up on the show. The iPhone 4S does not have 1 gig of RAM, as suspected.
No, oh, how much has it got?
It has 512 megs, exactly the same as the iPhone 4. Interestingly enough, it runs 3 times faster than the iPhone 4. Its benchmarks are off the chart. It's actually one of the fastest handsets on the market. I think it's actually faster than the Samsung 3G, Galaxy 2S. And everybody is saying, how? And they're basically saying that this is an amazing marriage of software and hardware that Apple has written into their operating system to make this phone perform so well. And there is a reason for the 512 megs of RAM. Because, and funnily enough, the source of this actually comes from Microsoft, believe it or not, who actually say that you want to keep RAM to a minimum in your phones because all RAM takes power, even dormant RAM. And so basically,
I can tell you all about that having an Android phone.
Exactly. And they're saying, so you want to actually minimize RAM because RAM is sucking juice from that phone. So if you're.
There's nothing wrong with the iPhone battery. It's always been fine, hasn't it?
And the iPhone battery, look, as much as the iPhone battery has been a problem, it does last longer. I think Josh will even contend to this. It does last longer than an Android phone.
Does mine last longer than yours, Josh?
All right, calm down now.
we can easily get a full day on a single charge on an iPhone 4. I don't know about the S, but the iPhone 4. And I've heard people who complain about Androids, people who use Androids regularly, like they're constantly checking stuff and blah, 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 only get like a half a day's charge on those things.
It's it comes down to that whole Mac PC argument again, which is that Mac has a very closed off system, which means that a lot of the time it will run better just due to the fact that
a marriage of hardware and software. Whereas with Android, it's an operating system being put on multiple bits of hardware, so like Windows. So I agree with you. It's very much the fact that the Apple engineers are in a very unique position, which is they can build and optimize exactly for what the hardware they're working with. And this is what's made it work. So yeah, it only has 512 megs of RAM. That's the key here.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So I thought that was really amazing. I've got an internet connection problem on flashing up on your Skype, but it doesn't seem to be affecting anything. So that was weird. So big red words came up on your Skype saying internet connection problem. It's like, okay.
The joys of doing something like this for the first time.
I know. Oh, we'll keep our eye on that and see if you suddenly drop out, I'll just reconnect to you.
Hooray.
Freak says I still get well over a day's use out of my Android phone because of Juice Defender. So
exactly, and same thing that I have. It's like once you get something that better monitors the system than a standard Android package, then it works fine. But again, not everybody wants to deal with that.
Absolutely. Just a little peace of mind for you guys. We won't go into detail on this, but I just thought that you might like to know this, that some unmanned drones in America, you know, those Reaper drones that go around and, you know, and spy on things and shoot
things.
The
Skynet ones, right?
Yeah, the Skynet ones. Well, you know, apparently they've been infected by a virus.
Is it the Skynet virus?
It's not the Skynet virus, but what I think is even funnier is the fact that it wasn't reported straight away, and they're continuing to fly them even with the viruses.
Of course.
I think that's terrifying. Can I just tell you this? At some stage, they will just start dropping out of the sky.
Bombing people, man. They'll just start driving straight into cars and things like that. It'll
absolutely
be great.
Absolutely. You also heard, just as a little side humor thing, that they're shooting Resident Evil 5 at the moment in Canada. Yes. And there was an accident on the set, and the paramedics had to come and help out all the zombies, but they immediately were baffled because they didn't know where the blood was coming from or who was actually hurt.
Yeah. I think that's poor Canadian zombies.
I think that's lovely. Apart from
the people that got hurt. And
well, apparently nobody was hurt seriously, and they were back at work. I mean, there was a few people injured, but nobody died, so good for that. Now, the other thing I thought I'd bring up very quickly.
It's all right to joke about it now.
Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to bring up was that the internet censorship filter is alive and well. Just not in this country.
I was about to say, you're scaring me there, Dave.
The UK has just passed a new law that has now made pornography opt-in on the internet.
Yes.
So you actually, if you want pornography, you actually have to contact your ISP and say, yes, I want to masturbate, you know? No.
Fantastic. I would be making that phone call on the first day.
Oh, me too. I'd sit there and say, give me my porn, you know? What the hell? Yep.
I'd be like, are there levels of porn? Because just turn them all on, just for the fun of it.
I don't want the real filthy shit. I mean, that's yeah, the stuff that I'm after.
Yeah, give me that.
If it's like a soft porn filter, I don't want that one. I just want the hard porn stuff.
You'll have to buy packages soon.
Yeah.
All right.
So what have you got? It's like, I got the softcore, I got the hardcore, and I got the X-rated. It'll be like, do you have a bundle package for all three?
Because yeah. Sometimes I don't know what mood I'm in. Yeah. You know?
Sometimes I'm not looking for, you know, donkey punching or anything. I'm just looking for some mild, you know.
Sometimes I like some lingerie shots.
I just want some spooning. I just want to see some
other
spooning
times
today.
I'm not content unless it's all pineapples and, you know, tons of blue. You know?
Okay, so just to continue on, Freak says a lot of people will be opting in there, and Delta Knight says I'd just opt in on the ISP site, just go straight in there. Joseph, you're new to our chat room. I haven't seen you before, and that became weird. He said, "Yeah, well, that's what happens on this show." So welcome
to Geek Actually, man.
Welcome to Geek Actually.
If you think there's something weird about pineapples and vats of lube, then
I don't know about it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, very quickly, Snake Oz said, okay, from the user guide, he says, photos are sent when you leave the camera app once iPhone is connected to the internet via Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I use my iPhone with a Wi-Fi dongle, which is why I have had it constantly updating.
Yeah, I like a Wi-Fi dongle.
Mm.
Just to let those who are listening in England know, BT, Sky, TalkTalk, and Virgin are the ones who are instigating this filter. So...
good for them. We'll see if they become the least popular ones.
Absolutely. Those are the ISPs to avoid if you want, you know what.
Pineapples and lube.
I was trying to think of a nice way to word that wasn't coming out.
I think pineapples and lube can be our catch-all
that
euphemism
should be
this
title
for
this week's episode, I think, Dave.
Yeah.
Pineapples and lube.
Pineapples and lube. There you go. I'm going to introduce you to a young Filipino gentleman. Look at your screen when you get the chance.
We've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it already? All right, so for our chat room, it's on screen right now. This is a young Filipino gentleman who has decided that he wants plastic surgery to look like Superman. And just to give you an idea of what he looked like before, I also have this picture, which is the before and after shot. And he just looks kind of odd. But that's not the photo I really wanted to share with you.
I think he looks better now. I'm just going to put it out there.
It's not a very good photo of the before, I'm just saying.
No, he looks a bit sleepy in that picture. But I also want to share with you, while I was doing research on this, and we don't have time to go into great detail, I'm kind of flashing through it, but I have to share this picture with people. This is Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And there is a woman who actually does want to look like Jessica Rabbit, and she's been doing the same thing. Getting her plastic surgery, and she looks like this. And I think she's got a long way to go.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's legitimately terrifying how far from Jessica Rabbit she has got. And let me just say, there is not enough money in the world
And I like redheads. That. Don't get me wrong.
Kind of redhead, though. Let me tell you. All right. Well, we're running at the end of this show, and I do have a little bit of weird food that I want to share with us. But I also thought this week I've got a pick. You know how we normally do picks of the week, and we haven't done it for the last couple of weeks. Delta Knight says, "Oh my God, who's crying now?" Somebody's censored it. So, and Freak says, "I'm blind." I have a pick for this week.
When you see, "Oh my God, my censored is now crying," you can only imagine the worst.
I just don't want to know.
I'm having trouble. And what's this? Freak says, "Pineapples are for the kinky, watermelons are for the experienced."
Wow.
And System Kill says, "You guys are crazy. This chick is a fox. Welcome, System Kill. You're another newbie."
Hey, System Kill, you've come in at the best possible time.
Best moment of the show. What can I tell you? All right, I do have a pick. Do you guys have picks for this week? I don't know if you guys are doing or not. So.
Yeah, I've got one pick.
I've got an iOS pick, actually. It's a game. Now, Josh is well familiar with this game, as is any DS user, which is that the game Scribblenauts has just come out on iOS for about $5. It's called Scribblenauts Remix, and it takes levels from the first and second Scribblenauts and has put it into an iOS environment, and it plays really well.
How does it play, David?
Really well. I've been enjoying the hell out of this game. So, yeah, it's about $5, and it's available now. So do go. And the other thing I wanted to share is that it actually does sync through Game Center. So if you play it on your iPhone and stop playing, it will pick up exactly where you left off on your iPad.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it cloud saves. So it's very good. Okay, Josh, your pick.
My pick this week is Batman Arkham Asylum. And I want this game. I just want to say that just for everybody to be aware that it is coming out next week and that you should all consider buying it because it's a Batman game.
Yeah, absolutely. What more can you say? It's a Batman game.
I'm not. I just realized terrifyingly as I said that there may be some level of embargo on this, and so I'm not saying anything more than it's my pick of the week.
Absolutely. You don't actually have to tell us anything about the game except that it's your pick of the week. And System Killer said such a fantastic game, so I assume System Killer's already played it.
I'm thinking he's meaning Scribblenauts.
Oh, Scribblenauts or Arkham? Callison says I think he thinks you mean Arkham City.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said Arkham Asylum.
Yes. Oh, yes, sorry, Arkham City.
Arkham City, yeah.
Arkham City, yeah. Asylum is an awesome game.
Delta says, hasn't that Batman game already been out for ages? Yeah, Arkham City is what we're talking about. And System Kill
doesn't matter. We're actually traveling through time as we record this show. It explains a lot.
And Snake Oz says, you can't pick it up before it's released, you bastard. What now? What is this? Popshot says next couple of weeks will be wallet. Fuck for me. What wallet censored for me? Wallet.
I think he just means that he's going to be out of money.
Out of money. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. He's speaking another language that I don't quite understand. There.
Between now and the end of November, there's at least how many major titles, Josh?
Oh God, dude,
too many.
I don't know.
There's at least half a dozen.
I barely sleep at the moment.
So what you're saying, Josh, is that everybody needs to go out and pre-order it right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yes. So that's what you're saying. You're not saying that you've actually played it or broken embargo. You're just saying everybody should have pre-ordered.
No. I'm not sure if I can justify the big box for this one. Although it does come with a very cool Batman statue. I don't know if I want a Batman statue anymore.
No.
In my life.
I don't know.
You do need it.
Batman statues are cool.
Do I need it? Or should I just stick to the pineapples?
Either's good for me, man.
Either's good.
Watermelons, okay. Dude.
Anyway,
should I move along to my geek pick then, just to get me out of this hole?
Please do. How do you get out of that sentence, Richard?
Okay, I'm Danish. look, I'm just going to say, because I've not done anything beyond the brief bit of geekery yesterday, which was playing with the iPhone 4S, I'm going to tentatively pick Siri as my geek pick of the week.
Good choice.
Because it is quite cool from what I've seen so far.
I'll be able to play with Siri next April. So.
Yeah, look, I'm going to have to wait till November till I get my own. Although the lovely Susan, my girlfriend, her contract is about to expire. So hopefully we'll have our own 4S within the next month.
So what I would do if I was in that relationship is we would renew her contract, get the iPhone 4S, and swap phones.
It's not going to happen. We've been leapfrogging phones for years. I had the 3G. She got the 3GS. I got the 4, now she'll get the 4S. I'll have the 5, in, you know, whenever that comes out. My contract's up in a year, so the timing's looking about right at this point.
I'm gonna start a new rumor right now, live, by the way. I've decided I don't think there will ever be an iPhone 5. I think it'll jump to iPhone 6.
Really?
Yep. Because
I think that the iPhone 5 will be an app within the iPhone 6. Yep.
Now think about this. Think about this, and the chat room can correct me if they want to. But iPhone was number one. iPhone 3G was number 2. iPhone 3GS was number 3. iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, iPhone 6.
That would make sense, though, would it? At this point,
I've never paid that much attention. So
I'm going to go out on a limb and say next year is iPhone 6, not iPhone 5.
And you know what? If you're right, ma'am, we'll let you call.
Look, I'll still get it either way.
Me too. Actually, I don't know, because I'll be on the iPhone 4S by that stage. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it really kind of screws with me. So all right, so you're going to pick Siri.
I'll pick Siri. Why not? Because as Siri would probably say, I am not capable of love.
Aw, poor Siri.
Mm.
All right, let's talk a little bit about weird food, and we're going to follow a theme here. The theme has been birthday cakes for the last few weeks.
I really feel as though we should have a theme at this point. It's like, let's talk about weird food.
Weird food.
You know, I have been putting a call out to our listeners for the last 2 years that we need bumpers for all of these sections. There's many more talented musicians out there than me. So you guys, please start submitting your submissions. We need geek bits. We need geek news, robot apocalypse. We need geek food. We need themes for everything, basically. And for the film actually show, too. For the news, for the reviews, you know, everything else. So yeah. I'm putting it out there for the fans. Send us in your musical submissions. For our continuing love of birthday cakes, I'm going to bring up on screen right now. I'm going to bring it up on screen now because there's a bit of a delay for you guys. And say that this is the new birthday cake winner for me. I mean, we do know that Snake Oz's was pretty amazing last week. But I think having this one is pretty awesome. Now, this is a Cake of Serenity from the Firefly series. And the thing that really impresses me most about this is it's actually on a stand. This thing is airborne. I want to know how they make cake rigid.
Have you ever seen Cake Boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Slice
yeah.
of cakes.
It's, you know? Yeah, it's probably built on a Rice Krispie Treats base or something like that. So.
Some of those cakes are more foam and wood than they are cake.
Well, yeah, actually, like to say that my cake needs to be at least 90% cake for me to want to eat it. I'm just saying.
I actually don't care what it looks like. If it's chocolate and and it has a pulse. No, wait. Not a pulse.
System
cake shouldn't have a pulse.
System Kill said, what the hell is that? I missed the first part because of an ad. Oh, sorry about the ads. That's a cake... the Serenity ship from Firefly made in cake. So I think
would be the
weird food.
Weird food. I think we just get you to do these things, Richard. What do you reckon? just for Richard, I'll bring this picture up. I'll bring this picture up randomly.
Hang on.
You know what's awesome? He didn't know what that was and still managed to figure it out.
I just pictured Olivia. I was going to say Olivia Newton-John.
You guys are
and I loved yesterday when we were testing. Dave goes, I'm not going to bring up the picture of Olivia Wilde. And the first picture that shows up is a picture of Olivia Wilde. I'm like, Dave, please.
It's a permanent picture on my desk now. I just want you to know that. And Joseph says,
you're
we could just
take that photo down when I marry
dude,
her.
Dude, can we?
Joseph actually says in our chat room, but we can just leave that photo up all the time if we want to.
Can you do me a favor, Dave? Yeah. And basically, just right on the front of that, we're having technical difficulties, and we'll just use that as our technical difficulties picture from now on.
Yes, I like it. I like it. And now, Snake Oz says that his cake was 100% cake with the power to destroy a star system.
It's true.
And I've got to say that his cake is still my pick of the week.
His is pretty damn impressive. It was amazing.
Let's scrap all of our picks of the week and just say it was Snake's cake.
Snake's
it's
cake.
Just Snake.
All right, that's it, guys. I think that's a show, unless you've got anything you want to add.
No, I'm good, man. I need a drink of water.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this puppy up then and say that if you like what you saw in this show, if you didn't like what you saw in this show, whichever way you want to go, send us feedback at feedback@geekactually.com or leave us a voicemail at 02-801-13167. That is a Sydney number. If you're outside of the country, feel free to use our Skype ID, Geek Actually, all one word. You can get merchandise, join our fan page, follow us on Twitter, do all of those wonderful things. Just go to geekactually.com and you'll find a big follow us link. Now, how can people find out more about you? Let me see. Who should we start with? Richard.
Oh, okay. I didn't expect you to start with me, so I was leaning back casually in my seat. You can find me, as always, at therealbits.com. That's RELBits.com.
But you're not there right now.
Well, no, no, I'm not.
You're not there all the time. So
you can find my work then at therealbits.com, or you can find me on Twitter most of the time at DVDBits.
Thank you, Richard.
And Josh, how can people find more of you? And Richard, I hope you rattle his cage. Come on.
You can do that later. Anyway, rawdlc.com is a gaming website. Head over there and check it out. I've just got a couple of new...
.com, and it's a website. Yep. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it's just because it's .com doesn't make it a website. It could just be somebody writing down .com, all right? So shut up and sit down.
I actually think .com does make it a website.
I'll stand up if I want to stand up. I can do what I like.
Don't stand up. You haven't got pants on.
Anyway, coming back to what I was trying to say, rawdlc.com is a gaming website which has just been revamped, and we've got all sorts of we've got a new look, and we've got a bunch of new content up there, and our content is now starting to stream in constantly as it is the end of the year, and we are starting to get more professional, or at least we would like to believe so. So make sure that you go over and check that out. And of course, if you're into hip hop, always make sure that you keep an eye on hiphopnetonline.com. If you like hip hop, it's only a few sentences at a time, but we will keep you up to date with what you should know about the game.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's it. I think we're done.
Wonderful.
And excellent.
I think we're going to borrow Delta's. I think we're just going to take it as ours from now on. We've been doing it for 6 months. I think it's time just to have ours, don't you think?
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, like, I would still talk to him about it, man. You know,
Delta, do you mind if we steal your thing? Steal your saying? He'll get back to us in a minute. He's in our chat room. In the meantime, guys, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna do our Film Actually show this week. We're gonna be reviewing a double review again of Red State and The Thing. So stick with us if you're in the live chat. If you are listening to it on a podcast, that podcast will be out on Monday. And we're gonna say have a good week and geek on, everybody. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you only listen to Geek Actually, then you're only hearing half the story. You need to shoot over to geekactually.com or iTunes and subscribe to Film Actually, the official movie podcast at geekactually.com. Same crew, same fun, but we talk nothing but movies, and it's a lot of fun. Come over and join us every week. You can also watch it live on our feed, geekactually.com/live, every Saturday afternoon. See you there. My old 17 inch was, oh, that sounds terrible too. My old 17 inch was actually starting to vibrate a lot before I sold it. But
well, no wonder you got rid of it. I mean, if mine was vibrating as well, I'd probably get rid of it.
I think we have a show title.
Vibrating 17.
My 17-inch used to vibrate.
That's fantastic.